when I was teaching Adam Levine, I was talking to Philip Phillips, who plays Pickle. I was like, what's the, like, in the music industry, like, what's the vibe on him, on Adam Levine? It's like, insanely talented, but in terms of, like, the music he creates, he kind of sold out to the money machine, but left kind of, like, the artistic, you know, that side of it, the creative side of it. I mean, he made a bunch of hits, and he's very, very rich now.
I would imagine that that is something that happens to musicians. Do you go more low-key, your creative process, and do what you want to do, or stack that cash? A lot of people go both ways.
Same at Pickle, right? It's like, you know, I'm trusting my creative process here. I'm following the artistic journey. You know, I'm just here to create.
Here to create.
High-end content creation. Me and you, Adam.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. Look how we made it this far. What do you call, like, the crusty things in your eyes when you're sleepy? You call them eye boogers?
No, I call them sleepies.
Sleepies. I think that's what Corinne calls them, too. That's, I guess it's more nasty.
You got some sleepies,
but I call them,
you got some sleepies eye in your eyes.
Oh,
yeah,
it was
gross.
It was a rough night. I'm not going to lie. It was probably the worst night as a father. The kids got some molars coming in, and he was not thrilled about that, and... Yeah, I think I got under an hour of sleep, but, you know, that's life.
Well, by looking at you, you'd never know it. You look sharp, you look clean, you look fresh. Oh, another, not always sleepies, maybe crusties?
Crusties? Either way. So it's, I had a couple of those, but I think I got them out, though.
You got them out, you look sharp, you have a collar shirt on, and you even have it buttoned up to the mid button, which is impressive.
Cause... So three buttons on this shirt. What would you do?
Three buttons on the shirt. I usually would probably go one button.
You what? One button open. Well, that's where I'm at.
Well, no. I'd go one button.
Oh, okay. So you would have the second one out. You want the taco meat out a little bit more here. Okay?
A little bit. Just a little bit.
We'll do that.
See, now you look like, okay, like I'm here to podcast, but I'm also maybe here to party.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys did it, Adam. You did it.
We did it. We got some help. Let's go.
It all fell into place. You did it.
Yeah. So I guess, granted, we did have a fill-in, which is very tough to do late in the season, but we had a little mini choke. We had kind of controlled our own destiny in Las Vegas, and then the Miami Pickleball Club one-upped us and did not get it done when they needed to, and we are officially promoted, and we don't have to go to Dallas, so I don't have to be gone for almost 2 weeks, considering that's piggybacked with the Nationals there, so pretty happy with everything.
So the first round is in Dallas, is that right? And then it's...
Correct. It's
and then where's the rest of it?
It'll be in Orlando, which Orlando the 22nd through the 24th, and then the one for that is about to happen is the weekend right before Nationals, and I believe Nationals starts Monday or Tuesday. So,
are you going to Nationals?
I am going to Nationals to commentate. Yes.
Okay. Nice.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Florida. I'm home.
Home. Good.
Was Dallas, was Vegas, was Coeur d'Alene, was Newport, was now here.
Yeah, that's why we missed last week. You were doing a little shoot, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in Coeur d'Alene doing Selkirk shoot, doing it for new clothing line, which is, I mean, the clothes are sick. Maybe some of you saw my story, but I was wearing a sick honey mustard outfit.
Honey mustard.
Head to toe. It was. Wow. I looked like Winnie the Pooh, to be honest. But like tan hoodie, tan sweatpants, tan shorts, shirts, tan shoes. The shoes are nice, by the way. They got a bunch of different colorways. They got tan. All blacks are what I like. They look sick. Ooh. All whites. Selkirk socks.
Send it to me, baby. Send it to me, somebody.
It's all dope. It's really nice stuff. So the new apparel coming out is really sick. 007 did a shoot for the 07. So you got the 10mm, the 14mm. I've opted to play with the 14mm epic shape, which is not the Invicta, which is kind of the longer paddle that most everybody plays with. It's a little bit of a shorter, wider. I just like the maneuverability at the, you know, in the hands battles with it. So it's
I'm a short wide guy. For my paddles and my body, short wide is what it's all about. Yeah. I've never been a long paddle guy.
Yeah. So the paddle feels nice though. It's got a new grit technology that's meant to stay much longer. And it's I tested a bunch of other stuff that I can't talk about too.
Ooh, secrets.
There's some very, very exciting stuff coming in the pipeline, paddle wise with Selkirk, and it's gonna get really ramped up in 25. So
good. Yeah. Love to hear that. I'm not quite on the cutting edge now that I'm no longer a player. So I love to hear that. The clothes were already good in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love my Selkirk stuff. So nice new line. And do they still have the women's, the Ava Lee that I know the Brashas did a commercial, or they were kind of the ladies for that one. So,
it's not an Ava Lee line, but they have, the women's apparel looks awesome too. They've got all kinds of stuff, and Stratman was there. Udit was there. So it was nice to see them, catch up with them since I haven't seen either of them in a while, since not playing MLP or PPA.
I mean, it's wild how that happens. Like, I mean, you're just seeing people constantly, and then you just don't see them anymore. And, I've been in that situation before too. It is kind of weird. And you're like, oh, hey, what's up? I used to hang out with you all the time. No longer.
So. Yeah, it was fun though. It was a good couple of days in Coeur d'Alene. Also did instructional videos, which you guys will be able to check out hopefully soon on Selkirk TV. I did two courses of 10 videos each. Had some nice players up there help me out. So I played some with Tyson when I was up there, drilled some with Tyson, which was fun.
The crime dog.
He was up there before he went to Miami. I saw that I don't think they made the playoffs, right? They just missed out.
They did not. So there was a lot of exciting stuff going on in Challenger, a little less so in Premier. So there was some slight shuffling between the third and the sixth seed, but like a team actually making it in that wasn't supposed to, all that, it kind of already played out. And that's just how it goes when you have, you know, when you have 23 regular season matches, there's going to be some down to the wire stuff and some stuff that's already decided. So, so how's the Crime Dogs complex looking? Does he have a nice little setup up there?
We played just a new facility up there, which was actually really nice. It was Peak Pickleball, Peak Health and Fitness. They have, but they have like cold plunge, sauna, 8 indoor, 8 outdoor. Brand, it's like been open for 2 months. It's super nice. But he's working on building a compound.
He needs ideally, to. He's a compound guy.
Like get some courts out there behind his, you know, in his backyard, have the full setup of the pod. Like what you need to do, Adam. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Level that backyard.
What's your duper? I love a nice Crime Dog commercial as well. So and I like in that duper commercial, he had the full on mullet. So that's it hasn't quite been there lately, and I think it's a little sad. So maybe he'll bring that back in the cold winter months. We'll have to see. Robert, you had a tournament in Newport Beach. I apologize.
It was supposed to be a tournament, and then it just turned out to me just Newport didn't happen.
Oh, I've been there many times.
But the issue is there's not a tournament next week to we talked about this. You know what I mean?
Redemption is not an option.
The instant redemption's not there, which really pisses me off.
No, I get it.
I just have to sit with it for a while, which I don't like.
It hurts. I know the feeling, and I know it very, very well. So,
Yeah.
I apologize for that lack of opportunity to redeem yourself.
Well, I'm considering going to China and then Vietnam for this PWR. There's a couple tournaments, and then there's this PWR India League draft coming up in December for the league that's happening in January. It's almost November. That's crazy. This is all it's coming down to the wire. But APP tournaments are done. There's no more. No more this year.
Really?
Done. Done.
No
Done.
mas. No
Done.
mas.
They
What about
canceled Boca, which was supposed to be mid-November, I believe, or early November. And then they canceled the Fort, which was supposed to be mid-December. So I'm playing Nationals in Mesa, which is the 14th, 15th, 16th weekend of November. And then considering going to Hawaii for a week to do some clinics as kind
Okay.
of like a as like kind of a stopping point on my way to China, Vietnam to play a couple of tournaments.
Oh, just
And
a
then
little
who knows,
pass by Hawaii on the way to
maybe a little
China.
vacation in Bali after that. We've got a couple of friends that are, opening a facility called they have a paddle brand and stuff. They're creating a brand. They sponsor players called Pickle Bali, which is what a dope name,
Ah,
right?
what a dope
Yeah.
name. Hey, so AKA you have boots on the ground in Bali.
Boots on the
So
ground in Bali. And you actually know them, Adam, because you've met Mila and TJ.
have I?
In Costa
Mila
Rica,
and
yep.
Oh yeah, I did. That's
So
right. That's
they moved to
right.
Bali. They moved to Bali and they got that. So when we saw them in Costa Rica, they knew nothing about pickleball, but remember they would go out like on those courts at that at what was it, Punta
Yes.
Islita? They would go out, that was their first time ever playing, and now TJ is probably like I don't know what his rating is, but probably like a 4.550. Like
Good.
he's gotten pretty good.
Is it
And
is this the trip where we got COVID and gave it to everyone?
correct.
Correct. Okay, go ahead. Four
Correct.
five five oh. So TJ's doing it, huh? That's legit.
Yeah, his brothers as well. I think they're playing a lot. But yeah, they're opening a facility in Bali. Apparently, they say Padel absolutely crushes. There's like five or six facilities that are booked from morning to night. Like it's
Oh yeah.
huge.
It's fun,
So
man. It's
there's
fun.
not a lot of pickle. So they're gonna open pickle, try to make it like a little bit like a day spa type situation where they've got healthy fruit juices and smoothies, like just like Bali vibe,
Bob.
So might go there and check that out in December
And
after China and
a fu
Vietnam and
fun fact, Robert, you're gonna stop by Hawaii, which actually is your old stomping grounds.
old stomping grounds.
You
Yep.
live there.
Boots on the ground there too. Boots
How
on the
long did you live
ground.
there for?
I was there for a year.
Oh,
So I
good.
was there for the entire year of 2022.
That's
So,
yeah,
taught
it's
some
just
interesting people pickleball too, Adam. I taught
oh.
Mr. Adam Levine from
Ooh.
Maroon 5.
Pretty man.
And it was like the same time as he sent some unfortunate text to like some ladies on Instagram where he's saying he's going to name his new daughter after his like the, after this chick's name. Like
Ooh, that's
it was
pretty
rough
strong.
timing. Rough
So
timing.
wife or girlfriend is pregnant, and he's gonna name the baby after the girl
A chick on
he's
Instagram. Yes, yes, yes,
messaging.
yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
Yes,
Adam. Wow. Come
Adam.
on, Adam. Come
But
on.
his wife was she was super nice. He was actually super nice. He sounded like he was pretty over singing and music and performing. He was like pretty burnt out at the time.
I can imagine. Take your
Yeah, it's a lot.
quarter billion dollars and do whatever you want to, you know?
And I was talking to Philip Phillips about like when I was teaching Adam Levine. I was talking to Philip Phillips who plays pickle. I was like, "What's the like in the music industry? Like, what's the vibe on him, on Adam Levine?" It's like insanely talented, but in terms of like the music he creates, he kind of sold out to the money machine. Like, if you listen to his first album, I can't name it right now, but it was unbelievable. And then he just went full money machine, and he got very, very rich from it. But left kind of like the artistic, that side of it, the creative side of it, and just to make hits. And I mean, he made a bunch of hits and he's very, very rich now. So,
yeah, I would imagine that that is something that happens to musicians. Do you go more low key, trust your creative process and do what you want to do, or stack that cash? I'm sure a lot of people go both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Same in Pickle, right? It's like, you know, I'm trusting my creative process here. I'm just, you know, I followed my heart. I'm following the artistic journey. You know, I'm just here to create.
Mm-hmm. Here to create
high end content creation. Me and you, Adam.
So that's right. That's exactly right. High end, elite. Two of my favorite words to describe us and what we do. Robert, well, since there was not a tournament in Newport Beach, did you get any info or any vibe on the PWR in India that was happening? I saw some smoke machine and some sparks and some stuff going on over there. What was
the
vibe?
You know, there's gonna be some smoke.
Yeah.
I talked to some people. It. I mean, shout out to Armand. Armand Bhatia. I think Triple Crown. He got the singles, doubles, and mixed titles. He got mixed with, I believe, Roos, who is, I think she lives in Australia, but I played her in England and was very impressed. She has a good like backhand flick. She has very fast hands. Like she's good. Very impressed with her. He played men's with Harsh, who he always plays with. Harsh is very good. Do not speed up to his backhand. Table tennis background, very fast hands, especially on that. He's a lefty, sits on the backhand heavy and just really, yeah, really fast hands if you go there. So, and singles, and he's using that Yola. That thing's, and there's no paddle testing. So, you know, go to town, go eat.
Go to town, go eat. I believe the only person that I saw over there that I knew or was had seen play before from the States was Casey Diamond. Was there any other Americans over there?
Yeah, I know Eric Forsyth went.
New York.
I'm actually planning on playing China with him if I can line all this up. Eric's the man, dude. He's been playing a while in New York, teaches Pickle. He's just such a good dude. And who else was over there? Alex Hunt, I think, played with Casey Diamond, which I don't know how they did, but I imagine not very well.
I guess so. But yeah, I don't know Eric well, but the experience I've had with him, he seems like he's very cool. So
yeah, he's a man.
Definitely on it with that, and make that happen in China. Do it.
Yep. They listed PWR for the league. They listed, I think, top 24 men and women that are up for the draft. So obviously 12 will get picked. We had Tardio on that list, which I found surprising. Gabe Tardio's name was on that list, along with you had obviously like kind of the top APP guys. You had Jack Monroe on there. You had Will Howells on there. Who else? You had obviously Armand and Harsh, the Indian guys. You had some Australian guys, Mitch Hargraves, Joey Wild, I believe. So, I mean, 12 will get picked out of the 24 on the men's side and the women's side. On the women's side, you had Susanna Barr, Megan Fudd, Jill Braverman. So the top APP women as well. So, look, it's good opportunities for those that you know, aren't in an exclusive deal in the States to go international and earn some cash.
So Tardio, huh? So that means Tardio, that if though, he's how, on that? If he's on that list, is that what does that mean?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was shocked. I wasn't shocked because I talked to Pran and he mentioned that Tardio's name was on there, but because he submitted an expression like a letter of interest or something. But if he's under contract, I don't know how that's going to happen.
The Bulletproof Bolivian, he's just doing his thing everywhere. The guy's hot right now. He's like,
screw it. Yeah, you can't. Ansel. No contract's going to hold me back, you know?
I'm Tardio, baby. Let's go.
I'm Tardio.
Prime of his life, 19 years old, just doing his thing. Good for him. Yeah, actually, I was wondering, this is about the time of year where people start kind of talking to each other about 2025 stuff. So I'm wondering what kind of partnerships are going to break up, what ones are going to stay the same, and all that good stuff. And I'm sure that we will be able to shine some light on that in the next month or two. But it's always interesting with the partnerships, and how long do you set it up beforehand? Do you kind of mix and match and wait a little bit longer? So we'll have to see.
Yeah, and on the PWR side and the APP side, so the next APP is January 15th, and that's at the Fort. That's the same time as this PWR, which you have a lot of the top APP players going over there for that. So it's gonna really open up that Fort tournament to be anyone's ball game, because the top players won't be there.
Yeah, well, I wonder why
and
they
it's
did that.
yeah APP I mean I some of the decisions that they're making are interesting. Canceling the last two tournaments of the years, obviously very tough on the players. I mean, you like that's how we're earning money. So, we lose income from those two canceled events. They were supposed to be at the beginning of the year when a lot of the contract talks were taking place in terms of, sign with PPA or don't sign or buy out or don't buy out, all of that stuff. The APP said, I think there's even an announcement or an article on their website that talked about, a team format being announced. And then they canceled the team event because they had, Andre, and they had people that couldn't play a competing team event. So they changed it to a shuffle.
Oh yeah,
And
I
then
remember that. I remember that.
there were supposed to be four team events on the year, which obviously changed. And they were like, okay, well, we'll do shuffle instead of team, and we'll have four shuffle events, which I think was an extra, like, it was a large amount of money, 500K or something like that. So you earned quite a bit extra, and they only had one team event, or one shuffle event this year.
Right,
So
in
they
New York.
canceled in New York. So they canceled basically three shuffles, I believe. I was told there was supposed to be four events, and then they canceled the last two tournaments of the year. So it's APP. I don't know how it's looking. They're doing
That's chunky, man. That's
it's real
like,
chunky.
I mean, you talked about the schedule. Like, that's a decent percentage, if especially if players are, counting on some form of income from that. I mean, I know it's prize money, but that, yeah, that's unfortunate. But that's
Yeah, it's quite,
how
I
the
mean,
cookie crumbles sometimes.
it's how it crumbles.
How it crumbles.
So we'll see what APP does next year in terms of making up those events and see if players are, I think, me personally, I'm gonna follow the money. So like if there's more money to be made in international events, I'll probably do that.
And you
So
ha I'm,
yeah.
you got to do what you got to do. I mean, you're a
Gotta do
professional
what we gotta
pickleball
do.
player.
That's correct, Adam.
That's correct. So, I mean, I totally get it. And even, yeah, also, I mean, I mentioned the stuff about the partnerships, and we'll see how they fall in place. But it's the same thing with PPA and MLP. What kind of schedule are we going to get? Is there going to be MLPs throughout? Are we just going to have like a 3 or 4 month summer action with the MLP? What kind of PPA action? I have no idea. So I think
No,
there's
there's no
not, not
announcements on
nothing
that
set.
yet.
The PPA has put some like January, February tournaments. I don't know if those are set in stone or that's just tentative. But I haven't heard anything in terms of MLP. And also with the promotion, four of the 10 in Challenge are going to Premier. What's going to happen with those six teams? Are they just going to put everybody in there? Are they going to have a challenger kind of situation with only six teams? I have no idea. So they're last la November and December are going to say a lot about what 2025 looks like, of course, but especially with just almost all the entities not knowing exactly what they're going to do. So we'll have to see.
Interesting. And PBA's got, I mean, they're still
a few events left, right? You have Worlds, I suppose.
Right.
And then you have Milwaukee, and then you have Daytona.
Yeah, and they squeezed one in right before Christmas, and I think that there's another. Yeah, actually, you know what? I have it pulled up here. Let's see here. Yeah, there's the CIBC PPA Finals, which is kind of that point system where you get the top 8 in singles, top 16 in the genders, and yeah, so they have that in December and the Daytona in December. And then there's this Vulcan Orlando Cup, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. That's been there for a while, but I think it's new. No, that's PPA. That's at the end of November. I think that might be new. That's after the Milwaukee and the Worlds. So, yeah, I just, you know, I probably should know that considering it's my schedule, but I feel like they just squeezed that one in. So,
well, it's interesting. I talked to, you know, a couple PPA players, and it's, you know, they're very conscious of like how many events or how many tournaments they have to play on the year based on their contract. And they're very conscious of the ones I talk to of not going over that amount because they're essentially playing for free. You know what I mean?
It's like, right. Yeah, sure.
You know, your salary is for call it 20 events. So if you play 21, 22, I mean, you're not getting paid additional for those, so they're just not.
So you want to hit it. Right? You want to hit it right on the nose. Yeah, you don't want to go under. You don't want to go over. So, and I know that there's literally like 3 or 4 different types of contracts. So I think it's different for everyone, whether it's days, events, all that stuff. So everyone has their own thing that they're worried about. But yeah, I would imagine, especially with, you know, some of the. There's a little strain on the athletes on the PPA side with the PPAs and the MLP. So I would imagine that not many, if any, are going to go over their number, given how grueling the schedule is. So
It's a long year. Yeah,
dude, it's a long year for sure.
We
talk about this stuff all the time. You know, no easy matches anymore. Always grinding through qualifiers. You're playing tough matches throughout. If you're running deep, that is wear and tear on the body. A lot of starting and stopping. A lot of things of this nature. A couple injuries that have ticked up, and you know it's a smaller court, but it's not easy on the body. You got to do a lot of bending, a lot of lunging, and a lot of that stuff. So it affects everything.
Yeah. But when you have glutes like yours, Adam.
Ooh, I was kind of setting that up. I was hoping you were going to go somewhere with that, and I'm glad you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glutes. I would imagine little baby AJ is going to have, he's going to have some solid, solid glutes with the
jeans are solid.
There. Yeah, exactly. There's some other gene factors, especially on my side, that let's hope he does not have. But glutes are there. Glutes are there, Robert. Glutes are there.
The hand eye is going to be there.
Hand eye, yeah.
I mean, the hand eye is there.
Yeah, he's already pretty sharp with it. So
Is he already chipping around the green?
He's got a little golf set, and he's got a ping pong paddle, and he has a pickleball paddle that he. His percentage of making contact is pretty high, so not hitting anything out of the air yet. We got to work on the tracking of the ball a little bit. You can kind of throw it at him, and he doesn't know what's going on. But if it's sitting there and he's got a paddle, he hits it pretty well.
That sounds like a golfer to me.
Sounds like a golf. I mean,
which is a better. It's a
board,
better path.
Yes,
it's a better path.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a better. I mean, path. You can kind of. If you do decide, if you do actually make it in golf, it's smooth on the body. Yeah. You can kind of pick some events to play and this and that, get a nice little college scholarship, all that good stuff. I am not against golf at all. A nice, good, strong mental game is necessary for that too. That helps you in life, Rob. You know, it does.
It does. And you're less dependent on, let's say little AJ does get some of your genes. You're less dependent on like your physical attributes and golf.
That's right. Yeah, maybe that's where I should have gone.
I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on. And what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item and a carry-on on most carriers, and both items are big backpacks. I carry them on. I fill both of them to the brim. And they both count as carry-ons, so I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the big boy. And I am past my playing days, so I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big, you need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. But yeah, you're right, because I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
Hey, let's actually just, I got a little pull up here. We'll just run through this playoff scenario real quick for Premier and Challenger. Because it is a bit confusing. So we have the New Jersey Fives and the St. Louis Shock that were able to capture those 1 and 2 seeds. And that is they earn a bye into the semifinals, the final four, and they get to select their opponent, the New Jersey Fives, because they're the number one seed. So that is kind of one of the new things. And you also have the React to mixed doubles. You can react to the Dream Breaker. You can pick your side, and you can serve or receive. And the higher seed gets to pick all of those things. So you get that, and you get to pick your opponent. So I really like what they did. And I mean, 23 regular season matches. You need to be rewarded for having success in the regular season. Oh, come on over, kid. Bring it over. We got 10 seconds on camera, Bubba. Say hi to Rob.
We
were just talking about your glutes, and they're going to be great. Oh, that sweet baby AJ. There he is. Hey, hey, to the JJJ. AJ. 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 JJJ. Oh, he's grabbing pins. He's grabbing pins. All right, you got 3 seconds left. Do something special, AJ. Yay. There he goes. What an appearance.
He's like, Mom, help me. Mom, get me.
Yeah, Mom. That's Mom. Exactly what that is. It's like, all right, yeah. I wanted to come to Dad, but I'm done with him. So, he's grabbing things.
He doesn't even realize he's going to be a superstar. He's on YouTube worldwide. He's a worldwide global superstar, this little guy.
That's right. Oh, and he gets a decent when I'm there at the tournaments, there is a lot of
he gets some ladies
40
coming up to him.
65 year old women that are very into AJ. So
I believe he
has his demographic of people that enjoy seeing him on the pod. So good for you, little baby AJ. Okay, what was I talking about?
Rewarded for buys.
And so the third through the sixth, six teams make the playoffs. Like I said, two buys are rewarded. And then those three through the six seeds will play in that event in Dallas right before Nationals. The number three seed is the Dallas Flash, and they will also get to select their quarterfinal opponent. We have the DC Pickleball Team, the Texas Ranchers, and the New York Hustlers. So having that, of course, having the bye is fantastic, but having the three seed is a really big deal also, because you do get to select your opponent, and we know in pickleball matchups are everything, Robert. Challenger level? Go ahead, please.
I like the select your opponent thing. Mm-hmm. But I think as the – like if a team's selecting to play, call it my team, like, man – talk about like bulletin board material, you know what I mean? Yes. Like in football, you're like that week leading up, it's like, you know, this team talks about you. And then it's like, that's all you talk about just to get motivated and fired up. If a team's selecting to pick you, you know, if a team's selecting to play you because they think they have the matchups, that's such good motivation to come out and be like, we're going to come light you up. So
I agree.
And I don't think it's actually that big of an advantage, because I think you're gonna have a really fired up opponent.
I agree completely. I mean, that's just sitting in your brain for, you know, maybe not that long given the schedule, but for, you know, a week or two. And I mean, extra motivation. I mean, these guys are...
Yeah, so especially at that time of year when everybody's pretty exhausted, they might be like, okay, looking for the break, the holiday break to slow down, mm-hmm. take time off. Like, where motivation might be lacking a little bit, even though it's the playoffs. You know, if a team selects you because they think they're going to beat you, that's a good little fire to pursue.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, these guys and gals are professionals. They're out here in MLP playoffs, so there's something in there regardless, but you don't want to add any extra stuff to it. And I think that actually played some form of role in the Miami Pickleball Club playing the Florida Smash. The Florida Smash had nothing to play for. They're eliminated, but Travis Rettenmeyer was talking crap to Johnny Goldberg, who is the GM yeah. of the Miami Pickleball Club. So you don't really want to, like, there's some players you do want to talk crap to because they might crumble. I do not believe Travis Rettenmeyer is one of those. He's going to thrive on that situation. So you don't want to give anyone extra motivation. You see it maybe in football before the Super Bowl, somebody on media day, like, says this guy's trash or this guy's garbage, or you hear the stories about Michael Jordan, you know, like
yeah.
hearing a quote in the newspaper from 2 years before, and then he wants to destroy the guy when he gets on court with him. So don't yeah. give these good players and these athletes any extra motivation. So I think picking your opponent is definitely something that fits into that.
What are the possibilities? So you said you have Dallas at the 3 seed in the premier?
Yeah, right. So they will they will get to pick between the 4, 5, and the 6 seed, whoever they want to. That's the Hustlers.
They could pick any of those, not just any the 5 or 6.
Yeah, any okay. of their quarterfinal opponent, they get to pick them. So, so that's a big deal. That's a big deal, and that's the Dallas Flash, which is HTB, Hurricane Tyra Black, Augie Gah, and the Johnsons, meaning Georgia yeah. and JW, not Yates and Hunter. So. That's a good team. And when you get to pick your opponent, they can get the matchups that they want. So, the Challenger playoff. So it's the SoCal Hard Eights, my squad, and the Chicago Slice that earned the 1 and 2 seeds. Miami had a rough go of it. So going into the final day of competition, they had the tiebreaker against us. So all they needed to do is get 2 points in 2 matches, and you get,
woo.
1 point for losing a Dream Breaker, 2 points for winning a Dream Breaker, and 3 for winning in regulation. So the Frisco Pandas is who they played first, and Frisco had to win in regulation to pass the Bay Area Breakers to get into the playoffs, and they were able to get it done 3-1 against Miami. So Miami got 0 points there, and then they played the Florida Smash and also lost in regulation. So Miami out of that top two spot, but they do earn the 3 seed, which they will get to pick their opponent in those quarterfinals. So lots of action, and congratulations to the Frisco Pandas, which is Eva Rezhakovska, Tammy Emrich, Stefan Averne, and Michael Lloyd, who was a pickup for John Sincola. And they played well. And that Michael Lloyd, he's pretty dang good at mixed. He is yeah. He's an athletic guy. He's got a lot of spin on his shots, and he played well when they needed him to. So congrats to them. And the other two teams in the 4 and 5 spot are the Atlanta Bouncers and the Las Vegas Night Owls. So, so it was a exciting weekend for some light shuffling in the 3 through 6 seeds for Premier and lots of action in Challenger.
Yeah. So now we have what are the dates for that first round of the playoffs?
No idea. It's the weekend right before. So this upcoming weekend, actually. Yeah. Okay. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday upcoming right before Worlds. And remember also in these playoff matchups, Robert, it's 2 out of 3 full matches against an opponent.
What do you mean?
So you don't just play a team once. So you play a team 2 out of 3 full matches. Yes.
Oh, sick. So, that's great. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. That's way better. Because then it just removes like the unpredictability, like especially after a long season. You know, we talk about like MLB, which you follow a lot. You have like that one game play in, and it's just so brutal. And then you have best of 3. It's just after especially after baseball, 162 game season, and it comes down to that
to one.
So I like the best of three. I think that's great. Is it?
Yeah. So you got to beat played, a team twice.
Is it played same day? Is it played different days? How's that work?
I believe it is. That's a fantastic question. I don't believe it is played the same day. So I think it's Friday, Saturday for sure, because you have to play two. And then if you go to the third, it's Sunday. I think that is how it is. Okay. But you know, I should know, and I'm not 100%.
But that's great. I like that a lot, because then you can change lineup based on what worked, what didn't first round, and you get to see that stuff and see how it changes the dynamics of it versus just having one game and then on to the next round. So fun. I'm excited to watch that. That'll be cool.
Yeah, gender is gender, but you can play a different team in mixed, or possibly switch your mixed partnerships. You know, some teams are, I am sure, not going to do that, but some teams have the flexibility to switch the mixed partnership. So it's a whole different thing given the matchup. So I am a big fan of the two out of three as well. And, you know, a little less variance.
When do opponents get selected? Like, when does the three
seed? I think it's like today or tomorrow. It's very quick. Yeah, it's very quick, which, you know, one week it should be. So you got to watch some film, do some game planning, and kind of to figure that out. You need to know your opponent.
What I would have liked more is like morning of.
Yeah, right. That's kind of, that would be kind of fun too, actually.
Talk about advantage, right? It's like, yeah, you have to prepare for every scenario if you're the one, if you're 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for it. And we've been in this back and forth, like, does each event need to have a winner? Well, this is the point of all of those 23 matches where some of them got lost in translation a little bit in the heart of the season. It's all real now. And I think that'll show.
Remember how badly you guys started? Think about that.
Yeah,
like, think,
yeah, 1-5.
You guys started terribly.
Yeah, 1-5.
You persevered and grabbed that two seed. So, I mean, but that's the fun part of storylines throughout the year, is like thinking back on all of that and the journey getting here and how much lineups have changed. Like, it does feel like in Premier that it got a little, like,
it was too bad.
You just see Ryan Fu and just random, really random people just getting added to teams.
Scarpa, yeah.
You know, guys that haven't even, that weren't even drafted, that are now, just because they're available and traveling and they're there, that will just throw them in a Premier team. Like, it's just that I don't like that a ton.
Right, and I think we saw that this last weekend, because there wasn't
eliminated teams.
So like James pulled out, Ryan Fu came in. And there was another one, CJ Klinger. I don't know if he was under the weather. I have no idea about any of that. But Scarpa filled in for him. So it's unfortunate, because there could have been a lot of shuffling and a lot of possibilities, because, of course, given the format. But it just wasn't the case. It just didn't work out that way for Premier. So I think it was unfortunate that last event didn't have more action and more ramifications for winning and losing.
But I do think this is like case in point on why these teams should have more than two players gender.
Yep.
Like, I think you should have 3-3. Like, so if somebody's sick, somebody's under the weather, you're not pulling a random person that's played on four different teams this year as a sub. You're right. Like,
and that
there's
was
no
talked about.
Yeah, it should be. That's a big problem.
It was talked about.
So I think having, you know, Who cares if that third person's not playing all the time? Or maybe they're really good at mix, or maybe they're really good at gender. Maybe they're a specialist on the right side, or a specialist, singles. There should be that aspect of it. And I think, you know, as the third player, like, I think that person's still going to be like pretty pumped, even if they're not playing every match. Like, you know, there might be some events where the number two player, the number one player can't make it. Then, you know, you're not having to pull from some random player pool. You have like your actual teammate that's filling in.
Yeah, right.
So that, I think, to me, that's a must.
Right. The game on court is not solved, and the format is not solved either. So
yeah.
You know, there's but I agree with you. I think it would have been a cool dynamic to have some more extended rosters, and you know, we'll see what happens when the powers that be make these decisions for 2025. I have no doubt it won't be exactly the same. There will be some tweaks here and there. Are they going to be major? Are they going to be minor? I do not know.
Adam, tell me this. So you guys as the top two seeds automatically are promoted to Premier?
That is correct. So how it works here is the top two seeds are automatically for Challenger and the two teams that come out of the quarterfinals. So six teams total. So of those six teams, four get automatic promotion, and the two teams that lose first round do not get promoted. Yeah, so that's how it is. Four of the six, and so that's such a huge deal.
Four of the six get promoted. Do any of the premier teams get relegated?
No. So there's
going to be 16 premier teams and
six
challenger teams.
Now I don't know if they're going to add a team. And also there's that you can only. As a premier, so there is going to be some form of player pool. So there will be some roster turnover. You can keep three out of four of your premier team, but you don't necessarily have to. So if you decide you want to just a clean slate, or you want to drop one or two or three or all of your players, you are able to do so. So there is going to be, even if some of the teams decide to keep a lot of their players, meaning three, there is going to be some roster turnover and a pretty chunky player pool to choose from. So it won't be a full-on draft, but it'll be a pretty extensive waiver wire process.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, be interesting with just six challenger teams.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll just promote everyone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you guys got up to Premier without having to pay any money, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think the price ended up, I don't know what it was called, something fancy, like a Dutch auction or something like that. And I think it was somewhere around 500K to automatically get that Premier bid for this 2024 season. So,
well, it sounds like Adam Stone probably deserves a little bonus.
Yeah, let's hope my boys are listening. I got this on the wall.
Timmy.
Rick Shan did hook it up after Vegas. So we went out to a very nice group of like 12 or 14, a couple, you know, like Jeannie Irakina filled in, her and her boyfriend, and, you know, some family and stuff like that. So we had a fantastic dinner at the Aria, and then Rick gets us our own craps table.
Okay.
And he gets a marker for 30K, and he plays with like 20,000 of it, and then gives every member of the Heart Eights $800 to gamble on the craps table with. And
that's pretty sick.
The first two rolls, I went pretty aggressive. My 800, I was down to 75. So after the first, two rolls, and then it was my roll, and I rolled for like 45 minutes. So So everybody made money. Rick paid back his marker, won a bunch, and every single of us ended up winning a good bit of money throughout.
Epic night.
Yeah, we're just yelling, you know, drinking some whatever it is.
Super fun.
Tequila and water and, you know, just having a good old time at 4 a.m. Like Eric Lang had a flight at like 7:30 and we're there at 3 or 4 a.m, you know. So it was good times and good team bonding, especially after not having the Vegas that we wanted to. So, and I mean, what are the chances that everybody wins? I mean, that's rare. And
but Miami crumbles and you guys just go on right through.
Yeah. I mean, I thought going into, cause the Chicago Slice could have crumbled and Miami could have crumbled. Those were our only shots. I would say going into the event, we are somewhere between like 10 and 12%. That was our chances of making the playoffs.
Wow.
So that was, I mean, roll the dice, baby. Roll the dice. The luck is on our side for sure.
Man, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to watch the playoffs now.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I mean, I gotta tell Prof, watch that kid. I got some scouting to do, so I'm gonna be glued to the TV this weekend, checking it all out before I get to call the matches in Dallas for the PPA. So we got
you know
some action going
this
on
weekend. It's
what's that?
It's Georgia, Florida, Jacksonville, Georgia,
ooh,
Florida, the world's
you're going?
Largest outdoor cocktail party. I'm looking at some tickets. I can't do like the. I don't like a lot of I don't like being in crowds, you know, like
that's an
like
issue.
Big concerts, like big, I don't like crowds. I like the fever was fine because we had like, I like private stuff. You know, we had courtside seats at the Fever game. So we had like a courtside club, which had its own little like restaurant, its own bathrooms. Mm-hmm. I don't like being in the mix with like thousands and tens of thousands of people.
Well, that
makes sense.
You're probably not going to go to the game then. Georgia, Florida, it's going to be complete chaos, I'm sure.
Right. Unless we get like some
the
suites.
hookup. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're
well,
a Georgia
playing,
guy. Conyers, Georgia. That's
Conyers,
you.
GA. Oh. I hit up a little known fact. Mr. Abraham Dinkin, Mr. Thomas Jefferson, Mr. Dwight D. Eisenhower, Eric Roddy himself. was a volunteer assistant coach at the University of Georgia. So,
really?
Little known fact. Yes. For the women's team, alongside our good buddy and probably the best pickleball player that does not play pickleball, Drake Bernstein, who is now the head women's coach at the University of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to those guys. I was trying to get them to come down here for the game, and Roddy's got a wedding in Chattanooga. Drake is, you know, in charge of a women's tennis program now, so they're not going to make it. But always fun catching up. Like our group chat, you know, they're obsessed with some band named Goose, which is
like a jam band.
It's like Fish or somebody or like Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Like it's just they love that.
Hot Toddy Roddy. That's all he talks about is Miami football. And
Miami Dolphins,
That's it.
I just watch his Twitter feed for the Miami Dolphins. He's just like yelling into the abyss, like just disgusted. But yeah, so might try to go to the Georgia Florida game. We'll see.
All right, I gotcha. All right, hey Rob. I mean, we're kind of approaching that hour mark. Do we have a tip?
Just the tip, just for a moment, just for today, just for right now.
Great movie.
What do we think? Have you seen Bad Monkey, by the way, with Vince Vaughn?
No, I have
it's
not.
It's on Apple TV. It's pretty good.
I love Vince Vaughn. He's the man.
He plays one character, basically. No, he plays the same character all the time.
Plays it well,
but he plays it so well. It's so good.
Plays it well.
I would never
plays
get
well.
Tired of watching him. Run through Return, Adam. This is a big deal. I always talk about, like, this is... There's a lot of things in pickleball that really like irk me. But my biggest pet peeve when I'm teaching, especially when I watch amateurs, is when they do, and dude, it's in the pros now too, because the people are hitting serve so big, but it's not getting to the line for your fourth. It's, it's my one, when I teach, I tell everybody it's my one non-negotiable in pickleball is you have to be at the fourth. You have to be at the line for your fourth. So you can only do that if you are moving through the return.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many times where I would say you want to be moving as you're hitting the ball in pickleball, but on the return, I'm absolutely okay with it because it will allow you to get in to the line. All your momentum's going forward. And the one thing I see people do wrong when they do this is, you know, they start at the baseline, start as far back as you can. You know, start back. I usually start with my butt, like literally
on
the
fence. Butt on
the
fence.
And then I move forward from there. But the key here is making sure you're not stopping, hitting, moving, because it's hard to get that engine revved up after you hit it. So when you do hit it, though, you have to shorten up your backswing. It has to be very, very compact, because if you have your same swing as you're moving through the ball, as you typically do when you're standing stationary, you are going to hit it long. And that's what I saw a lot of when I was doing the instructional was running through the return, but keeping the same big backswing, and the ball was flying long every time. So you really have to get compact as you move through the return.
Yeah, no, I was a butt on the fence guy too, and I like to get nice and low. And so you know, you're not just standing straight up running through the return. You're engaging your lower body. You were finding some form of balance and you know, lower center of gravity when you're hitting through that shot. But I agree completely. And the thing is the more body momentum or the more use of your legs, the more simple the upper body and the actual swing needs to be. Like those pair together very well. So if you know you're a little more stationary, or you're just at the kitchen line, or whatever the case may be, having a little bit more stroke or a little bit more backswing makes sense. But when you're using the body, use the body, use the legs, use all of that, and keep it compact. So I agree completely. I do not think it's a stop and hit situation. We must get in there. And as you said, I was a butt against the fence guy, and I was always moving through. And that first volley, that what are we talking? Fourth shot has to be on the kitchen line, and
Has to be.
you have to just be so skilled and so competent. If you're playing a good team and you are not hitting that first volley right on the kitchen line, if you are in the transition zone, whether you're hitting it with pace or you're trying to take pace off from that spot, let someone else do that. Let, you know, the top 1% of the top 1% deal with that type of shot. You get your butt to the line and hit that first volley where you need to be.
Yeah. And even on that note, there's a couple of things that tie in here. One is, if you're the partner, we've talked about this before, protect the returner. Take as like if you ideally the return's gonna go well, depending on their switching. But point being is, if your partner's returning and you see that somebody has a big serve, you know, scooch over and look for that fourth, so they don't have to worry about it and stress about it too much.
Yeah,
Another thing,
absolutely.
Adam, the
Yes,
slice
please.
return's making a comeback.
Oh, the slice return. Yeah, no, I
Slice
agree.
return, it's not, it's, you know, there's a lot of talk for a while about like you shouldn't slice because people can just rip forehands and roll the ball and use the spin that's already created on the top spin. But what I'm seeing, Adam, is if you're able to slice it and really like knife it and keep it down, you're going to get so many errors on those thirds. People don't know, like, should I drop it? Should I rip it? And if it's staying low, this is kind of condition based too, right? Like if the ball is playing fast and it's skidding and the course are quick and the ball's kind of slick and it's staying low, slice it, knife it, keep it low. That ball is hard to hit. It's you'll miss drives with it. So slicing's okay. Just make sure it's a knife.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, there's probably a handful of players that just handle it extremely well. So you have to be conscious of that certain kind of elite group that is going to handle it well. But I mean, we're talking Max Purple Jesus Manthal, two-handed backhand slice, knifing it. Mari Humberg, just knife, knife, knife,
Forehand,
slicing that
backhand,
up.
doesn't matter.
Yes, both sides. I know I'm unbelievably irrelevant, and we're talking 3 years ago, but
Oh, you slice that forehand.
I was a slice guy. I was a forehand slice guy. So I think there are some unseen benefits. Just know if you're playing a shake and bake team and that certain player, their technique pairs well with handling the slice and their opponent is very active up there, then you might have to switch it up. And actually, in our matchups with the SoCal Hard Eights, there's been a time or two where Max has had to hit through his returns because we were getting into some trouble. But he's also had some really great matchups where, whether it was mixed or gender, where he got three, four, five freebies off of that slice return. So
100%.
make sure you know the situation. But it's there's not a lot of hard nose in pickleball, and I don't think a slice return is one of those.
Agreed. What a tip. We from not having anything to just really just pulling it together.
From nothing to something. That's what we do here, Robert. All right, buddy. Great episode. Solid stuff.
Perfect.
Apologize for last week viewers. Rob was a hot commodity up in Coeur d'Alene, as he mentioned. Hopefully we'll get to see that commercial or some of those instructional
Well,
videos
you'll
that
see
you
it.
were working so diligently to
That's all I
come up
do.
with. That's what you
I'm
do.
here to serve.
Diligent worker.
Here to serve.
Diligent worker.
Adios.